Hey everybody, this is Ben Shaw, the Director of Media at First United Methodist Church of Murfreesboro, Tennessee. I hope that you enjoyed Zach's sermon from the Modern Service that we released on Tuesday. If you missed it, I encourage you to go back and listen. This week, we have a bonus sermon. Since Drew, our senior pastor, began preaching in both services each week, we have only been releasing one sermon per week since July. But periodically, we will have two different sermons on a Sunday, so on those weeks, you get a bonus sermon. If this is your first time listening, welcome. We are so glad that you chose to be a part of our worship experience here at FUMC. If you are looking for a place to worship, we would love to have you here. We offer two unique worship experiences. Our modern worship service meets in the Family Life Center, and our traditional worship service meets in our sanctuary, both at 10:15 a.m. on Sundays. Head on over to fumcm.org to learn about all of the great things we have going on here at the church. We hope that you find today's message meaningful for you in your life. If you do, we ask that you help us out by rating and reviewing our podcast in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Also, tell your friends and family about us. This is a great way we can live into our mission at FUMC of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him for the transformation of Murfreesboro and the world. Now, here is Chrislyn Durham's sermon entitled, The Little Stuff Matters, from this week's traditional worship service.
Loving and holy God, we come to this place ready and willing to hear a word from you. Open us up, O God. Challenge us, move us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight this day. Amen. Many, many years ago, a story was told that went something like this. One day, a man was walking along the beach when he noticed a boy picking up something and gently throwing it into the ocean. Approaching the boy, he asked, "What are you doing?" The youth replied, "Throwing starfish back into the ocean. The surf is up and the tide is going out. If I don't throw them out, they'll die." "Son," the man said, "don't you realize there are miles and miles of beach and hundreds of starfish? You can't make a difference." After listening politely, the boy bent down, picked up another starfish, and threw it back into the surf. And then he looked up at the man and he smiled and he said, "I made a difference for that one. I made a difference for that one." This story is one that has been told for years, and it's probably one that you have heard on many occasions. But no matter how many times it's heard, the meaning still stands. It's so simple, yet so complex at the same time. The text this morning is one that also seems so simple on the outset, but then as you continue to think deeper about it, we realize that we are being challenged to go deeper into our understanding of what it means to welcome one another. It offers an opportunity to recognize that all it takes is something. This morning in our scripture, we are being challenged not just to think about what we can do to change someone's life. In fact, it's not really about that. But it's challenging us to think more and more about what is meant by welcoming one another, or to even take it a step further, what it means to welcome a stranger. One of the things that you have to know about these verses is that it's found in the midst of a discourse where Jesus is giving instructions to the 12 on sending them out. He's sending them out to tell the world that the kingdom is near. He's sending them out to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. He challenged them to take nothing with them. Can you imagine being told by someone that you follow to go out to someplace new, someplace you have never been, a place that may not actually accept you, and to take nothing with you? But he challenged them to do just that. He told them of the persecution that would likely come and how there would be people who would not like what they had to say or even what they were there doing. Not only would they not like it, but they possibly would hand them over to be flogged. There were a lot of words of instruction over those few verses. And much of it was hard to hear and hard to receive. But then we come to the text this morning. A text that, like the story above, is simple, yet so complex. A text that begins as though it's just about the traveler who needed to trust that the needs would be provided, but then ended up being about the one who welcomes or the one who does not. It begins by saying, whoever welcomes me, whoever welcomes you, welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me, welcomes the one who sent me. But the question is, what does it mean to welcome? If you were to look up the definition of what it means to welcome, you would find that it means to greet hospitably and with courtesy or cordiality, or to accept with pleasure the occurrence or presence of. But the word that is used in the book of Matthew is dekami, which can also mean receive. And that can mean to take to oneself what is presented or brought by another, to accept, to embrace, to receive hospitality, to admit, approve, or allow. You see, this word, welcome, encourages us to be radically hospitable. It's not just a greeting. It's to welcome someone in. Emily Towns once wrote, "The hospitality rooted in compassionate welcome is both a practice and a spiritual discipline in which we discover that by offering hospitality, we may be welcoming something or someone new, unfamiliar and unknown into our lives." This requires us to recognize another's gifts and vulnerabilities, the need for shelter and sustenance, and encourages us to open up our worldviews and perspectives, as well as our hearts and our souls. Throughout history, there are a number of people who I could have found in the history books that have lived that idea and concept of radical hospitality, but the ones that always, always come to my mind are Pastor André Trocmé and the people of Le Chambon, France, during World War II. You see, during the Nazi occupation in France, there was a community in Le Chambon who took Jews in. They offer shelter and schooling for children. They forged identification and ration cards as a way of not only providing safety, but also getting them to the next place. You see, it was almost like an underground system. It began with the people taking in Jewish children and hiding them, clothing them, feeding them. In fact, one of those child refugees once said this of the people of Les Chambon: "Nobody asked who was Jewish and who was not. Nobody asked where you were from. Nobody asked who your father was or if you could pay. They just accepted each of us, taking us in with their warmth, sheltering children, often without their parents, children who cried in the night for nightmares." You see, these people understood what it meant to welcome. Not only did they welcome them by letting them stay, they also welcomed the danger that came with them. They recognized their gifts and vulnerabilities, their need for shelter and sustenance. They didn't ask questions. They just let them in. From December of 1940 to September of 1944, this village, made up of about 5,000 people, and the villages surrounding Les Chambon, which was about 24,000 people, provided refuge to an estimated 5,000 people who were escaping everything going on during the war. They really did understand what it meant to welcome. And for them, it didn't come without a cost. See, Matthew goes on to tell us, after this idea of welcoming, that we should welcome the prophet and the righteous person. But then he says these words: "Whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones." A simple, basic act of giving a cup of cold water. That's the kindness that God is asking of us. As I told you the story of Les Chambon, you probably thought, God isn't asking me to do that. God isn't asking me to literally open my door to a stranger. But you see, for you to be kind and compassionate doesn't mean it has to be on that large scale, like it was for that French town during World War II. Even the smallest things, like a cup of cold water, which during that time would have been so kind because people are constantly traveling in the heat of the day. And they would welcome that cup of cold water. The question is, what does that cup of cold water look like for you? This cup of cold water could be sitting with someone at lunch who sits alone. It could be offering a smile to someone who could use it. It could be being present with someone who is losing a loved one. It could be offering a casserole. There are so many things that that cup of cold water could represent. And none of them have to be big things. Because you see, the small things, they really do matter. This past week, I was in a meeting with Josh Markham and a couple of others, and we were talking about lots of random things, especially missions-oriented. And I was telling him about my title for the sermon this week, "The Small Things Matter." And Josh looked at me at one point, and he said, "One nail could change a life." And as I sat and waited for where he was going next, I assumed that he was going to go to Redbird Mission, where we just built a house and all of these great things. But instead, he looked at me and he said, "One nail in a tire could change a life." And he went on to tell me a story about a man who ran over a nail, giving him a flat tire, making him miss work that day, that eventually would lead to him getting fired, that would eventually lead to him losing his home, that would eventually lead to him being homeless on the street. One nail could change a life. The small things really do matter in good ways and in not so good ways. Josh then went on to say that somebody helped that man. They bought him a tire, and he made it to work that day, maybe a little late, but he made it. He paid his rent later that month, and he was able to continue on. And for the person that paid for that tire, that was probably, it may have been a big thing, but it could have been a small thing. It could have been a drop in the bucket. But for that man, that tire made all the difference. The small things really do matter. You see, what Jesus is saying to us this morning is very simple. He's saying, take the love that you already have for your family and your friends, the way that you would welcome in those that you already know by name, those that you accept, those that are like you, those that you love. Take that love and extend it. And extend it further and further and further. Welcoming the stranger. Welcoming the one that you may not fully understand. Welcoming the one who may not look or talk like you. Welcoming the one who may not know as much as you. Offer them that cup of cold water. Not because it's your job to change them, to put them into the mold that we want to define, but because they are God's and they are worth it. And in that moment, you might be throwing them back into the ocean, making a difference for that one. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for the gift of life that you give to us. The ways in which you challenge us to be better versions of ourselves, the ways in which you challenge us to do things that might be uncomfortable. We thank you for giving us the opportunities to be able to offer someone that cup of cold water, whatever that may be. And God, may we go from this place not just going back to the way that we've always done, but recognizing the vulnerabilities, the needs of people around us. We are grateful, O God. Amen.